Okay. Counselor?
Yes.
Board members?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Story County Board of Equalization Board will come to order. We'll start off by having the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll stand and join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along to item number three is discussion for possible action, appointment of the board chairman and vice chairman. This time we'll open for nominations for board chairman.
I nominate Marshall McBride to be our chairman.
I second that.
A motion and a second. Any comments?
No comments, sir.
Any comments? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I'll open up nominations for vice chair.
I nominate Scott Joelkover to be the vice chairman.
And I'll second your motion. Any public comment? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number four. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the agenda for January the 17th. 2024.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the agenda for January 17th, 2024.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All right. Is there any discussion regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number five, discussion for possible action, approval of the minutes for February 22nd, 2023. The meeting of that meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I have read the minutes and I was attended that meeting, and I would motion to approve the minutes of the February 22nd, 2023 meeting as stated.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. Are there any discussion regarding the minutes of the February 22nd meeting? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of board policy regarding unlicensed appraisers. So, Mr. Stafford, are you going to take this, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Stafford for the Story County Assessor's Office. First of all, thank you. I want to thank the board for having this organizational meeting so we can address this issue. This is a proposed policy to be adopted by the Story County Board of Equalization. And as I go through this, let me go through it in order here. So I'll give you the background. If you're on that page, it's my page one of five. Up at the top of that page, it says proposed policy of the Story County Board of Equalization. And there have been similar policies adopted by other county boards of equalization. Two come to my mind, Washoe County and Churchill County have adopted this policy, and the State Board of Equalization has also adopted this policy. So Nevada Revised Statute 645C provides for the licensing and certification of individuals acting as an appraiser in the state of Nevada. And I've inserted some applicable statutes here, and the items appearing in italics are taken from Nevada Revised Statute. So it defines an appraisal, what that means. It means an analysis, opinion, or conclusion, whether written or oral, relating to the nature, quality, value, or use of a specified interest in or aspect of identified real estate for or with the expectation of receiving compensation. So this does not apply to a property owner that would come before this board and testify to the value of their own property. That is not what this would be about. A property owner is absolutely at liberty to testify what he thinks his property is worth. But they don't expect to receive compensation for expressing that opinion of value. And then we have an appraiser defined, and that's the person who prepares or communicates an appraisal. And then we look at 645C260. This speaks to the requirement of a licensure or certification. and one, any person who, in this state, engages in the business of or acts in the capacity of, advertises or assumes to act as a, an appraiser without first obtaining the appropriate certificate, license, or permit pursuant to this chapter is guilty of a misdemeanor. So it's common for taxpayers to hire professional tax representatives to come before this board and appear on behalf of the property owner. We often refer to those as tax reps. They often come from out of state, and they usually have prepared an appraisal. They put together an analysis, whether it be cost, income, or sales data, and then they form an opinion of value that then's presented to the board. Most of the time, they have not obtained the necessary licensure to do that. The top of page two, because they're not licensed, they're not subject to the requirements of the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. As such, they can act as an advocate for their client, they can accept contingent fees, and create appraisal results that favor both themselves and the client. So what we have is we don't have an unbiased third-party opinion. We have someone who's working in a contingent fee. They're acting in their own best interests. They're acting in the best interest of their client. So you can't rely upon that type of valuation service when it's structured in this manner. Also, a licensed appraiser must complete both minimum and continuing education requirements, pay licensing costs, and meet other requirements to hold that license to practice as an appraiser in the state of Nevada. So just as a matter of fairness, we should certainly compel those that come to the state of Nevada perform appraisals. They should also be held to these same requirements. In 1997, the Nevada State Board of Equalization adopted a policy regarding those who unlawfully act as an appraiser of real estate. That policy was codified in NAC 361-729. Generally, and I have a copy of it, we can look at it here. The code states that the state board will inform any unlicensed person acting as an appraiser that it is unlawful to do so, and their conduct may be reported to the real estate division. As I stated, other county boards of equalization have adopted like policies as well. And so the next page, page 3 of 5, this is the proposed policy that I put forward to the board for your examination and review. So the title of this policy would be Testimony Before the Story County Board of Equalization, Authority to Testify, Person Who Unlawfully Acts as an Appraiser of Real Estate. One, with the appropriate authorization required by Chapter 361 of NRS, any person may testify before the county board on behalf of a party. So that refers to the agent authorization. And that's why I put that phrase there. If you have the appropriate authorization from your client, you can testify on their behalf. Two, if a person testifying before the county board acts as an appraiser of real estate but has not obtained a certificate, license, or permit required by Chapter 645C, the county board will, unless the circumstances of the case otherwise require, give the person's testimony the same weight given to the testimony of a person who is not an appraiser. Three, if a person specified in subsection 2 receives or expects to receive any form of compensation for an analysis, opinion, or conclusion concerning the nature, quality, value, or use of property, which is before the county board will inform that person that, A, it is unlawful to act or assume to act as an appraiser of real estate in this state without first obtaining the appropriate certificate, license, or permit pursuant to NRS, and B, the county board may notify the real estate division of the Department of Business and Industry of his or her conduct. And C, the real estate division of the Department of Business and Industry may impose a fine of not more than $10,000 for each violation pursuant to Chapter 645C of NRS. And four, upon informing a person pursuant to subsection 3, the county board may notify, and it says may notify the real estate division of the Department of Business and Industry of the conduct specified in that subsection. So this also can occur if the board adopts this policy, then we would then be able to inform tax representatives who have submitted, I've been submitted, you know, elaborate discounted cash flow analysis and income capitalization models and cost approaches. And at that point, I could say, are you a certified or licensed appraiser in the state of Nevada? Yes or no? No, I'm not. Our board has adopted the policy that if you appear before them, they will ask if you have a license. If you don't, they may turn you into the real estate division, and you may be subject to penalty. I've also seen it happen during a hearing where the chair says, are you a licensed appraiser in this state? No. Do you want to withdraw your appeal? Because if you don't, we're going to move forward with, are you aware you're violating the law? We may turn you into the Department of Business and Industry. And that, I've seen that happen as well, too. So they've given the, they give the taxpayer or the tax rep the opportunity to just, okay, I'm out. You know, I'll withdraw my appeal and my presentation. So, but it's a way to put people on notice, say, look, you're acting as an appraiser, you're not licensed. So we recognize that, and there might be ramifications for that. So does the board have any questions of me so far? Yes, Scott, I mean, member.
Scott Jalkover, for the record, having been a former licensed realtor in the state of Nevada, this makes tremendous sense to me. I am fully in favor and supportive of it. I think it cuts to the chase, and there'll be a lot less of these, what I've observed over the years, frivolous types of things brought before us. My only concern when it comes to notice is that the applicants, if I have this correct, and maybe the assessor could weigh in on this, is that when they fill out that form in the first place, that they are noticed, that they are put on notice, that they have to do this before they show up here and we have to notice them on the spot, if that makes any sense. That's what I'm asking.
I would say no, we wouldn't, because we don't know what the evidence is yet. Maybe it's just, perhaps they're just arguing that the assessor improperly applied Marshall Swift technique. It could be something like that. We don't know if there's an appraisal by definition coming yet or not when they file an appeal. A lot of times from tax reps, you'll see your evidence to be determined later. And they file the appeal, and then they'll go about preparing their evidence and things of that nature and analysis.
I guess where I'm coming from, I'm looking for something that wouldn't blindside them when they're in front of us, that they might think twice about doing it properly before they get here.
This would empower us as assessor staff to then, if it's submitted to us, say, I need to tell you this. This board has adopted an unlicensed appraiser policy, and this is what it is. Do you really want to submit this as evidence?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking
for. That's what we could do at that point once the board adopts the policy. That would empower us to do that and just make it go away.
Thank you. That's all for me.
You stole my question.
I'm sorry, Marshall. I might be younger than you, but I don't know.
Not sure.
Would this policy first have to be adopted by the Board of County Commissioners before?
No. On the next page, I'll show you how that adoption works. The State Board of Equalization approves it. And there's an NAC on the following page that addresses that. So, okay. And I saw an example of the one that they did in Churchill County. The assessor there gave me a copy of it. It shows the document, and the chair of the State Board of Equalization signed it. And then it becomes the official policy of this board. And that's in the following page there, NAC 361, 622. Sub 2, with the prior approval of the State Board of Equalization, each county board of equalization may, and I'll jump to B, adopt more detailed rules of procedure. And so that regulation authorizes you to adopt these additional regulations, and then the state board would simply approve it. We would schedule that through the state board. The signed document, I have an example of it from Churchill that they would do. And then at the bottom of that page is the actual regulation that utilized by the State Board of Equalization. And so that is theirs, and you can look at that and compare it to what I developed. Mine's a little bit different. So, you know, I'll let you read that on your own. I don't have to read it to you. But that's that 361-729. And it goes on to the following page, too.
Mr. Chairman. Okay. Legal counsel, do you find anything in there that needs to be looked at further?
We had the opportunity. We had the opportunity to review the policy as written and provided to you prior to the meeting today, and I see no legal reason why we couldn't adopt the policy as written.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Scott Jelkover, Vice Chair, for the record, as to item number 6, proposed board policy regarding unlicensed appraiser, I move that we approve the proposed policy of the Story County Board of Equalization dated January 5th, 2024, as prepared by the Story County Assessor's Office, page 1 through 5, as written.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second that motion, Chairman.
We have a motion and a second. We'll open up. Do we have any public comment regarding this proposed policy? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, thank you, Mr. Stafford. Now we're going to move on to item number 7. This is for discussion only. These are the market trends at the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center presentation by the county assessor's staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Stafford for Story County. And I direct you to a handout we just submitted to the clerk this afternoon. And the first one I wanted to look at, it's entitled TRIC Site Sale Resale Analysis. So if you look at the first one listed, it's APN 050159, located at 1600 Peru. It's a little over 35 acres. And the original sale for this analysis, not the original sale, that's an improper term, but a sale occurring in July 29, 2021. You can see it sold for $2.66 per square foot. Then that property resold on November 8th, 2022, selling at $7.11 per square foot. So over the course of 15 months, that property's value increased by 167%, roughly 11% per month. And the next property is a very similar situation. So for $1.5 million in 7/21, which was $3.44 a square foot, then resold March 28th, 2022 for $7.25 per square foot for 111% increase in value. That's about 12% per month appreciation. And then the third property, which is still in this 21 original sales in 2021 realm, sold in June of 2021, $2.45 per square foot, resold December 6, 2022 for $7.32 per square foot. That's almost a 200% increase in value. So those first three sales, generally going from 2021 to 2022, really, if you look at that, increased at a rate of 11 to 12% per month. And, you know, 167% increase, 111% increase, 199% increase. This is occurring in a very short period of time. And the reason that happened, well, let me back up a little bit. If you look at the per square foot sales, that first column, which are the older sales, right, from 2019, 2018, 2017, they're in the 245, 235, 225 per square foot area, which is what those industrial sites were selling for in Tri over an extended period of time. You know, 225 a square, 245 a square, that's what it was selling for. The last of the 2021 sales by TRIC LLC, the developers of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, sold the last properties in 2021. That's it. That supply is gone. So all that was left were now resales from private owners selling it to reselling to other investors and developers. So, and that you look. So when we were doing the appraisal, reappraisal for the 2022 and the 2023 tax years, we're using these sales occurring in 18, 19, 17, and 21, right? $2.45 a square foot, $2.25. So you can see the rapid appreciation that occurred there. And below, it's not as much because those are older. The rapid acceleration in value you can see occurred in that from calendar 2021 to calendar 2022 and 23. So that's really where that rapid appreciation occurred. Does anybody have a question about this chart here that I did on this sale resale?
I have one. Yes. Are these unimproved properties?
Yes, they're all vacant. Well, at the time of sale, they were, yes. Now, some of these have been developed. A few of them already have been developed with mega warehouses on here. The IS-15 has two new megas on it. IS-13 has a mega warehouse on it. 1600 Peru, I'm not sure about that one. IS-6, I think, has a new mega on it as well. They combine those three to make one big parcel.
But at the time, these numbers on here, though, were at
they're vacant, absolutely vacant.
Vacant land.
Yes, okay. They're vacant land.
For the record, Scott Jalkover, the chairman, did steal my question on that.
Chairman, I got a comment. Apparently, I'm in the wrong business. I want that on.
Yes. So, now the second page, I have, may look a little complicated, but it's really not. These are, what I have here is the sales that were utilized in the 2024-2025 reappraisal. And you conduct the appraisal during calendar 23. You then submit, you complete your tax roll in December. And then you'll start paying taxes on the values on July 1st, 2024. So if you look at, you can see the sales price, sale date, the 2023 assessed value, that is the tax year we're currently in. And again, that value would have been prepared using sales from 21, 19, 2018. Okay. So when you do a ratio study, what you're doing is, in the state of Nevada, assessed value is 35% of full cash value. So we develop a full cash value, we multiply that by 35%, that's the assessed value. The assessed value is a number we transmit to the treasurer, who then calculates the tax bill based off of that. So if you, now in statute, we're supposed to be in the 32 to 36% area, right? The target's 35, but you have a group of properties in different areas, and we're trying to, you know, hit them with a broad brush, as it were. So your ratio should be between 32 and 36. If it's not, then the tax commission can take action and inform the assessor to do something about it, or have the Department of Taxation conduct their own appraisal at the expense of to the county and have it done. So if you look at the ratio for the 2023 assessed value, it says 2023 ratio, and you get down to the bottom of that column, it says the median is 11.7. And the median, of course, is the middle number, just like the median between a divided highway, that's the middle number. That's below 32% by a lot. So we need to do something. Clearly, we needed to do something. And after the reappraisal was done for the 24-25 tax year, now we have a median ratio of 32.7% is now the median sales ratio for 24-25. So we're within now the statutory 32 to 36. We made that just barely, but we're there. You know, we made it. We're there. So I'm comfortable with that. And I think, you know, we met the statute, and we're not killing people, or we're not over-assessing people, obviously. So we look at the COD. That's a number that it's really just the average variation from the mean. So the mean is 32.7. So how far are we on average from that mean? You know, you got all your sales out here, right? How far are we away? And this is 10.8% is our coefficient of dispersion. And the International Association of Assessing Officers, the IAAO, says your COD should be between 5 and 20, and we're at 10.8. So that the lower the number, the more narrow the range. We're closer to the median with all these properties. If it was a big number, we've got a problem. We need to clean this up. We've got too many outliers here. But we brought it all in. It's tight, not tight range on it. So I wanted to share this with the board. Does the board have any questions about this page here? Member Jockover?
Scott Jockover, for the record, just one question. If I'm reading this right, are there a lot of people that are on the verge or already seeing the sticker shock?
This is a question maybe for Assessor Seddon, but I'm surprised how little inquiries we've had, to be honest with you. I'll let Jana address it.
Jana Seddon, Story County Assessor, for the record. We've had quite a few people call just as an idea, our bulk acreage that we had on our just bulk undeveloped acreage last year was $32,500 per acre. This year it's $90,000 per acre. We were really expecting almost everybody to call us asking and complaining. So that's why Mr. Stafford, his comment was we've really had very few considering. I probably overall have only had about 10 people contact me, of which there's just a very small handful that have actually filed a petition before this board, some of which, and again, this is what this board is for, and for the, you know, for the taxpayers that we're not always perfect. We miss things. It is their time to point out to us, hey, did you do this correctly? Hey, you know, we think it's off. There's a couple of places that are new places that we did. Everything's gone fast and furious that we agree that we may be a little on the high side. So you're going to have some role changes probably that we're going to put before this board. But at this point now, we still have possible mail-ins that can come in because with Monday being the holiday, usually it's the 15th, but Monday was a holiday. So they had through the 16th to postmark and put stuff in the mail. So we're still looking to see if there's possible anyone else that's going to be doing it. But at this time, I think we only have two industrial that we have not agreed to a tax rule change. So there's a possible for more. But I do believe with people have been well informed. We've tried to inform people, the board coming in. And most of these people out there, they see what's going on. They understand the value's going up. But we were quite shocked that we didn't have more people, you know, asking about that huge increase. But,
you know, and I'll kind of dovetail on Jana's response is I had a taxpayer contact me. On average, these values went up 183%. So the comment is, of course, you can't justify that in 1 year. Well, it wasn't 1 year. It was multiple years that it occurred over. And I talked to him. I showed him the sales data that I had. And I explained it in detail what we did. And we held the values actually for 2 years. We didn't raise any value last year. So for 2 years, the values were stable, stagnant, unchanged. And then all these sales came in, and then the change occurred. So it wasn't a one-year adjustment, but it occurred over a period of time. But then he was fine with that. He did not file an appeal. And that's kind of common. If you can relay the pertinent data to a taxpayer, then, especially at this level, these are experienced investors. Okay, they understand what's going on, the market dynamics of what's going on.
What you see here is like what was asked. This is our land sales. But what you don't see, and there are some people that actually did call that they understood the land because they could see the land sales, but they made no improvements on their building. We use a state-mandated Marshall and Swift costing system to recost the improvements. And many of these places in the industrial park, these big buildings, just the improvements that are already in place jumped up anywhere from 18 to 22% just on the value of their building on some of these places. So that's the other side of things that people are calling about too, and there's really nothing we can really do about that. This is kind of another fallout from the COVID craziness of when a piece of plywood was, you know, $92 and steel was just outrageous if you could find it. So we're still kind of in that last bit of that COVID fallout from all that crazy stuff. So who knows what's going to happen next year, but we're also seeing that sort of craziness in the improvement values too, not just the land values. So you got both.
Are there any questions from the board? Or?
No questions from me.
No.
Thank you. We just wanted to provide this to you so you're informed of the market conditions out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All righty.
We had a motion for adjournment.
No, let's move on to number 8 first. We have another.
I'm missing number 8.
Are you missing a page? Okay, this is discussion of possible action to confirm and set February 21 and 22 of 2024 for the next Board of Equalization meeting at which filed appeals will be considered as well as any other matters pertaining to responsibilities of the board.
Assessor Seddon, for the record, right now, as when we set these, as we've already discussed in our last, we were expecting a very high volume of appeals. That's why we set aside 2 days. At this point, we are looking at a possible 3 real property appeals, one being a residential, 2 being commercial or industrial. We have one possible personal property appeal, which we're hoping to get that corrected, and we have 4 role change requests at this time. Again, all this stuff could change, but that's where we're at right now. We have 5 inquiries where people called, they asked, we sent them the forms, but nothing has been sent to us. Once again, possible mail-ins, but at this time I think that we would be fine for 1 day, not 2.
Very good. Anyone else have any questions for Jana? No? Okay. Then anybody have any questions regarding the dates that are set for the next meeting? None? Okay. Can we get a motion to approve the dates that are set?
Do we want to just choose 1 day?
Yeah. Scott Jalkover, for the record.
Before you make a motion.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody's checking their calendar.
Well, I already got Thursday the 22nd on my calendar, but what does yours say?
Well, I put them both on.
Yeah, I got them both.
Because you never know what Janet's going to do.
That's true.
So anyway.
Could it potentially spill into another day? So are we better?
No, I really believe, because again, some of these that we have, mm-hmm. We could end up going into a stipulated agreement, and then it's just the board has to approve our agreement.
Is this an 8 a.m. meeting or a, what are we looking at? Time?
Probably 9 a.m.
Okay. I'd recommend Wednesday just in case we did have a spillover, because I wouldn't want to spill over onto Friday.
Right, yeah. All right. Safe and sound. Wednesday the 21st?
Good for you.
February.
Why?
Okay. For the record, Vice Chairman Jalkover, I move that we set February 21st at 9 a.m. for the Story County Board of Equalization meeting.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion, Chairman. I have
a motion and a second. Is there any public discussion regarding this item? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 9. There's a County Board of Equalization comments. Board Member Carmona, do you have any comments today?
No comments today, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Jalkover?
Yeah. Congratulations to this board on its efficiency and all the support from the assessor's office, Mr. Stafford, the ADA, and the county clerk, and members in the audience.
Very good. And my only comments are is that I think that sometimes with these valuation letters that go out, they used to be postcards, right? But I think they get set aside. People haven't picked them up and reviewed them yet. They will review it when they get their tax bill from the county later in the year. That's when your phone's going to be ringing.
Awesome.
That's it.
That's right. Pull the trigger.
Okay. At this time, we'll move on to item number 10. This is public comment. Anyone in the audience have any comments to make? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, which is the adjournment. Thank you, everybody, for attending today, and we'll see you in February.